Good morning. Welcome to Grace of Christ on this beautiful Sunday. And before we stand for our call to worship, can we just take a moment of silence and to remind ourselves and give honor to those men and women who sacrificed their lives so that we might have the freedom that we have in America today. So let's just be still and thank God for them. Lord, hear us as we, with grateful hearts, acknowledge in our time of silence just the sacrifice, the lives, those who continue to serve for our freedom. Now, Lord, may we continue to worship you and honor you because of the ultimate sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, who sets us free for eternity. And it's in his name we pray and give you the glory. Amen. Let's stand together for our call to worship. Honor the Lord, O people of God. Let us honor the Lord for his glory and strength. Honor the Lord for the glory of his name. Let us worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The Lord gives his people strength. The Lord blesses them with peace. Let us worship the Lord our God of strength and peace. Continue to worship, offering our hymn of praise.
Let's come together as God's people and join together in prayer. Make your face to shine upon us, O God, and be pleased to dwell in our presence this morning. We gather before you to give you our praise. Our ears have been opened to the sound of angels singing hosannas, and our tongues have been loosened to shout, Hallelujah, Amen. We listen attentively to your word, which brings wisdom. We wait expectantly to confess anew our allegiance and faith. Make your face to shine upon us, O God, this morning, and be pleased with our worship. Father, we pray this morning for our valley and our city. We give you thanks for the warm temperatures, the sunshine, the moisture, and for workers to harvest the crops. And we pray for our nation this morning. We just celebrated our independence, and we thank you that we can live in a nation where we have the freedom to worship you. As is written in 2 Chronicles, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them and heal their land. Our prayer this morning is that our nation would begin to unify under the blood-stained banner of the cross and preach the gospel of the kingdom clearly and boldly in every highway and byway of our nation. And Father, would you open our ears to listen to your word as Pastor Bill begins to teach us about prayer, that wonderful privilege you have given us as your adopted children. We pray that you will enable us to set aside those things that pull us away from this worship time and place and allow us to hear your word. And hear us this morning, Father, as we pray for those who despair when earthly hope seems to elude them. Grant them a vision of your boundless mercy. Appear to them in the sadness of their darkest moments and make real for them the victory of Christ's resurrection. Help them to hear the good news that transforms light out of darkness. And may they henceforth have confidence in your loving care. We pray for healing for those that are sick and ill, Lord. We lift them all up to you. Keep them free from pain. We pray for the doctors that they find solutions to their illness. Keep them free from infection. We pray for those who grieve the loss of a loved one. Surround them with your embracing compassion. Care for them in their solitude and comfort them during the lonely hours. With Christ as our hope, Father, we stand at the gates of your sanctuary seeking your pardon. We confess that we have not worshipped you alone. Life makes its demands and we push you to the margins. It seems you are there for the leisure moments when our work is done. Forgive us for our small minds and mistaken priorities. Restore in us the sense of your greatness and your ultimate claim on our lives. And let us be still for a moment as we draw near to you and place before you those things which we need to confess. Hear with grateful hearts, friends, that Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, ushers us into the gates of God's eternal dominion. By his own blood, Jesus healed the separation between God and us, and by his sacrifice offers reconciliation, and thus in Christ we are forgiven. Father, we lift these prayers up to you this morning, both those spoken and those that remain on our hearts, as we say together the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and glory forever. Amen. Please stand for our hymn of thanksgiving, number 439.
Before you are seated, would you just greet those around you and bless them in the name of Christ? Got things out of order, but now you got all that out of the way, so we don't have to do that later. But I forgot we have our special song right now from Carolyn. Pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they might be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if, Jesus says, you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do pause and to recognize that you alone are God. You alone give us all that we need. You alone have provided the forgiveness of our sins through Jesus Christ. And now you alone have given to us your Holy Spirit, who will continue to create within us a new heart. And may it be a heart for prayer, a heart to know you and to be known by you. For I pray in Jesus' name, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So this morning, I do have 3 points for you, but I was reminded the other day on the 4th of July, somebody I saw that day remembered who I was from 20 years ago and said, Mr. Williamson, you were at First Presbyterian Church back in the day. And I said, yes, I was. And he says, and I remember you used to preach 3 truths. Wow. Yeah, I did. He says, you still do that? And I said, I can barely get one out these days. But what it reminded me is that there was a time when one of the truths that I spoke of on a Sunday morning was sometimes you feel like a nut and sometimes you don't. The next Sunday, there was a Mounds bar and an Almond Joy bar sitting up there on the pulpit. And I can tell, I remember what that point was all about. If you want me to tell you later, I'll tell you later. So my first point this morning, my first truth this morning is sometimes you feel like a $100 bill and sometimes you don't. That just came to me this morning. I didn't write that down. And when I said it at the first service, somebody said, you're not asking enough. So sometimes you feel like $500 and sometimes you don't. Now, my first point this morning is when we're talking about prayer, before you pray, close the door. Jesus tells us to get away, to go to a room, to even go to a closet. The Jews back at that time probably would go up onto the rooftop. He says, get away, be alone with God. Jesus himself practiced it several times. He'd go off onto a mountaintop just to get away from the crowds. Just to get away from the busyness and the noise. To get away from all the distractions. Jesus, on the night he was betrayed and crucified, went into the garden to pray by himself. He took other disciples with them, left them behind, but went into the garden. So that he could get real and honest before God. And we know how he prayed at that time. So you and I, in order for us to really experience the honest relationship that we have with God, Jesus says, go to a room, get alone, be with God, get real. And he says, so that your Father who hears in secret will reward you. It's not that there are only secrets that we need to come before God, but it's recognizing the fact that even before we pray, even before there is a need given to God, it says he already knows what we're going to pray. He already knows what we need. But Jesus says, but in order for you to be reminded of who God is, to be reminded of who you are in Christ, we should go somewhere in secret, in private. Because Jesus knows there are times when we're going to pray publicly. He says, but there's a trap in that. In fact, he says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't fall into their trap. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. He says, don't be like them. Yes, you're going to pray publicly, But you know what? Before you do so, I hope you're spending time alone. I hope you're spending time closing the door and spending one-on-one time with God so that He prepares your heart, so that you don't go out looking for the award and the applause of men and women. That you're not like the Pharisees, these hypocrites, who all they do is in order to show how righteous they are, to show others how spiritually mature they are. And Jesus says, if that's what you want, then that's what you'll get. In a sense, there won't be an applause from heaven. You'll only get the reward that others can give to you here on earth. And He says the other trap is don't go on and on using a lot of words as though God can't really understand. That He gets you before a word is even spoken. And so Jesus is talking more about not so much what we say and how we say it, but where's our heart? Who are we when we come before God alone, in the secret, in the garden, where Jesus was so vulnerable and He said to His Father, if there's some other way, take this cup from me. You see, it's in those places of secret, it's in those places when we're one-on-one with God that we're able to allow the Holy Spirit to have access into the depths of our soul. It's what the psalmist says, deep, calling out to deep. It's allowing the chambers of our heart to be massaged by the Holy Spirit so that we can be real, that we can be honest, that we can confess our sins, knowing and trusting that He will forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Matthew Henry, the commentator, writes, when we take least notice of our good deeds ourselves, God takes most notice of them. When we do what we do, when it comes from a place of humility and brokenness, we don't need the applause of others because God rewards us. God sees what we do. God knows our heart. Oswald Chambers writes, your motivation should not be the desire to be known as a praying person. He says, find an inner room in which to pray where no one even knows you are praying. Shut the door and talk to God in secret. Have no motivation other than to know your Father in heaven. You know, it's not that we shouldn't pray in public. And there are times that we need to pray in public. In fact, my new friend Vicky over here was telling me how she was praying for others the other day as people were walking around and by here. But it's not so that we then get the attention. It's not so that people say, wow, you pray. You are a strong Christian. You are a believer. Boy, you trust in God. No. It's in order for us to get away with God, to release all those distractions, so that we can give to Him our anxieties. We can give to Him our fears. We can give to Him the troubles of this world and the worries of our heart. You see, Jesus wants us to get alone with God and go into the closet and shut the door to all the worldly distractions. You probably know and have heard the story many times about Susanna Wesley, the mother of John and Charles Wesley. You know, it's been said, written, verified that if you as a stranger walked by their house and looked into a window, you might see something very strange. That you might see Susanna sitting in a chair in the middle of the room with her apron pulled up over her head as her 10 children are running around. Because that was her time with God, and nobody interrupted that. That was the only way, the only place that she could find a place to be alone with God, to let go of the troubles of the world. My guess is she probably peeked once in a while just to make certain they weren't turning on the stove or something. But so many times we excuse ourselves from spending that quiet time alone with God because we're so busy. There's so many things I'm doing, and they're good things. They're wonderful things. But if we don't stop and pause, if we don't do as Psalm 46:10 says, be still And know that God is God even in the midst of our chaos. To know that God is still in control, even in our busy, messy lives. Then we'll run on empty. We won't be able to soar on wings like eagles or barely be able to put one foot in front of the other. So we need to stop. And we need to be still. And to recognize that God is in control of everything. So I want us to do that right now. I want you just to pause, to be still, close your eyes if you need to. But really, allow God to come alongside of you in whatever busyness is going on, whatever anxieties you have in your life right now, whatever fears and worries. Just ask God to remind you that He is God, that He is in control. Would you take some time and do that? So I thank you, God, that we can trust that you are in charge of all things. You hold on to all that drives us, all that gives us anxiety, all that creates fear. You tell us to give them all to you and you'll take care of them. So we give them to you and we trust that you are in control of our lives now and forever. Amen. So my second point is this then. So before you pray, spend some time closing the door. It may take a while to just kind of calm down, rest, trust, but find time to settle in and center on God. And then as you pray, this is where Jesus gives us the Lord's Prayer, focus on heaven and earth. It's not one or the other. It's both. It's thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want to see God operating, releasing his heavenly provisions here in our world, in our lives, in our home. It's often been said that Christians can be so heavenly minded that they are no earthly good. And that they are sometimes so earthly minded that they are no heavenly good. So Jesus reminds us that our prayer is one in which we recognize that God, who is in control, has all the resources that we need in this world, and that we desire for His power, for His presence, for His purpose in our lives to be revealed here on earth. That we would catch a glimpse of heaven right here on earth. That we would sense God working and moving in our daily lives. And therefore, we come before God and we say, give to us our daily bread. It may not necessarily be that God gives us what we want, but He knows, Jesus says, He knows what you need. So we ask God, give us our daily bread. So again, it's about heaven coming to earth. It's the resources, the provision of God, to be reminded that God alone is our provider. That every good thing comes from God. And that we can enjoy even the riches and the treasures of heaven here on earth. Moment by moment, day by day, week by week. So God, come, give to us our daily bread. Now, the truth is that while we're here on earth, we do battle spiritual things. There is a spiritual war that is going on. There is a collision between heaven and earth. But the truth is this, is that the battle has already been fought and won. And we have the victory. So we can't use that phrase by the old late comedian Flip Wilson and say, the devil made me do it. We have to take responsibility for the fact that we also wrestle in the flesh. James tells us we don't get what we pray for because we pray for our own human desires. And we're told that when we pursue our earthly, fleshly desires, that is what then causes us to sin. That's what causes us to fall away from God. And so we can't blame everything on spiritual warfare, but we need to be aware. We need to be focused on the fact that there is a battle that is going on, a battle for our souls. The enemy isn't out there trying to cause us to go rob a liquor store. He just wants us to feel defeated in this world. He wants us to give in to our own flesh, human desires. He wants us to believe that we are just terrible, awful sinners, that God doesn't love us. That's how he defeats us. That's how he believes he's going to win. And so Jesus says, then continue in your prayer, and when those times come, call out to God to give you perseverance in victory in times of temptation. Lead us not into temptation. It's not about, God, don't let me fail, don't let me sin. It's, Lord, give me the victory. Give me the strength. Give me the fortitude. The enemy is prowling around like a lion. Protect me, Lord. Shield me. But then Jesus, as wise as he is, knows that we are human, that our battle is in the flesh. We all stumble and fall. But he reminds us that we serve a God who loves us and forgives us. And so we talk about, Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And I'm going to use that in the third point. But for now, right now, what I invite you to do is to spend a little bit more time in silence, to be reminded of the fact that there are places of weakness in your life. And if you're struggling in the flesh right now, that you would invite God to remind God that he would come and free you from that temptation. He would come and remind you that those who are in Christ are free, that we're no longer slaves to sin. And that as we confess our sins, even in this time of silence, it's not about reminding ourselves of how terrible we are and how disappointed God must be with us. Lord, I blew it again. But as we confess our sins and ask God to forgive us of our debts, it's more about reminding us of how much God loves us. Because again, the battle has already been won. Our sins have been nailed to the cross. They have been cast away from us as far as east is from the west. The enemy kind of wants to keep bringing them around to remind us that we're just terrible people, that God doesn't love us. So perhaps today, maybe not even confessing any sins, would you just allow God to remind you how much he loves you, how much he adores you, how much he delights in you. And that he has already done the work. He has already forgiven your sins. And he will forgive you time and time again. So could you do that? Could you just ask God, remind me that you love me just as I am right here, right now? And if you need to confess something, maybe something even 20 years ago that's still nagging you, just say, God, be done with that. Take that away from me so that I can receive all the joy, all the goodness, all the love, and all the mercy. All right, would you spend time in silence doing that? And so, Father, again, I pray that you would continue to allow whatever image you gave to us, whatever words you have spoken to us, to just linger with us throughout this morning and this day and even into the week, that we would walk with confidence and assurance, knowing that we are forgiven by the blood of Christ, that you love us with an everlasting love. I pray in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. And then the final point, so before you pray, get your heart right, shut out all the distractions. As you pray, focus on heaven and earth. And then after you've prayed, walk, live by grace. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive you, forgive those who have debts against us. Lord, we pray that as we come to an understanding of the forgiveness that is ours in Christ, may our heart be in such a place that we can extend forgiveness and grace to others. In verses 14 and 15, Jesus says, "If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now, wait a second. Where's the grace in that? It sounds like Jesus is saying, if you forgive somebody, God will forgive you. If you don't forgive somebody, God isn't going to forgive you. Well, that's not what he's getting at. God's grace is grace. There's no conditions upon it. What he's basically saying is, as you now live by grace, as you continue to forgive others, God continues to replenish what you give away. God continues to pour into you His grace, His mercy, His love, His truth, His forgiveness. And so it's not that in order to be forgiven, I need to learn how to forgive others, but it's if I somehow neglect to forgive somebody, if I harbor bitterness towards somebody, if I have a vengeful spirit against somebody, my heart is going to get hardened. It's going to be filled with bitterness and anger and resentment. And it'll feel as though I'm the one not being forgiven. Maybe that's the kink in our hose. Maybe we're not experiencing the fullness of God's grace and all of His forgiveness and His mercy because we haven't been able to forgive somebody else. And it could be that you may not be able to physically forgive them anymore because they're no longer alive, but you still hold on to the pain. You still hold on to the bitterness and the anger. And it doesn't necessarily mean that a relationship will be healed and reconciled, and that's what we're afraid of. If I forgive them, then I'm letting them off the hook, and we're just going to kiss and make up, and, forgive and forget. And no, sometimes we just have to give them to God and trust that He's the one who ultimately forgives them, and that He's the one who will ultimately work on their heart, and that in doing that, we then can receive peace. The peace that passes all understanding, Paul says, that guards our heart and our minds. Paul writes in Romans 10, as much as far as it depends upon you, however you can release them to God, be at peace with them. Don't carry around that bitterness anymore. Don't allow the enemy to continue to lie to you and tell you that you're a terrible person because you have hate in your heart. Allow the truth of God to set you free. Knowing that whoever is in Christ is free indeed. That all who are in Christ are new creations. The old is past, the new has come. There is still a part of our human element that lingers around. And we still, in our human nature, want somebody else to suffer. We want somebody else to pay the price. And so what we have to do is just give it to God and trust Him to love and forgive that person. And that maybe somebody else will come along and love them in such a way that they too want forgiveness and healing and reconciliation. There be nothing that we can do humanly in our own flesh. And so this morning, for our last time of silent prayer, you can guess where I'm going with this one. Where do you need God to set His forgiveness free in your heart? Maybe it is forgiving you for anger and bitterness. But maybe it's asking God to soften your heart towards a person, a group of people, an incident that took place years ago that you no longer want to carry around anymore. And that you would ask God to allow forgiveness to take place. So let's go there. Let's be silent before God now and ask Him who, where, what we need forgiveness for ourselves or for somebody else. So, Father God, we release it all to You. Whoever You showed us, whatever image You gave to us, whatever words You've spoken to us, Lord, may it continue to linger in us and around us and go before us. May You continue to pave a path in front of us, one that is filled with truth and grace, one that is filled with mercy and forgiveness. Lord, may we now see heaven and earth working together in our lives. May we see You continue to bring about redemption and revival for us, for our church, for our community, and around the world. As we go from this place today, remind us of the prayers that were offered here. Remind us and show us of the ways that You will begin to answer those prayers. I pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Before we participate together in our joy of giving, I want to share with you a few ways you can connect with life here at Grace of Christ Church. But first of all, welcome to all of you. We're glad you've chosen to worship with us here at Grace. And if you are a new visitor today, a special welcome to you. And we invite you to stop by the Welcome Center out in the garden room to my left. It's right inside the door as you enter on your way to the cookie table, which is a good thing to go for. Stop by the Welcome Center. There's a welcome packet there for you and your family and a coffee card. Now, if you're also a regular member or a new member, have been attending for a while, I urge you to pull out that little black and white card in your bulletin or in the pew rack in front of you. That's our Connect card. That's how we connect with each and every one of you. Please use that card. Put your name on it when you were here at the service. And use that card to jot down any prayers or praises you have, or any joys or concerns that you have, or any questions about life here at Grace. We pray over those cards every week and use them to connect back with you. A couple of announcements that go right along with Pastor Bill's message on praying. We have two wonderful opportunities for you to join into prayer. One of them is Pray Yakima. Now, Grace of Christ has been blessed to join other churches in our valley to provide prayer cover for our city and valley with continuous 24/7 prayer. Now, we have signed up for or adopted the second Sunday of every month to pray for Yakima. Now, as you do that, you will be given prayer prompts to pray for. And when you sign up, you don't have to stay up all 24 hours and pray. Sign up for 15-minute slots that can be assigned to you during that day that we pray for Yakima. And there are still some slots open for that. If you want to learn more about Pray Yakima and how you can join this team and pray, write Pray Yakima on that Connect card and drop it in the offering plate when it goes by. Another opportunity to pray is our prayer and healing service, which is July 9th, Tuesday, in the Ward Chapel. We begin at 6:30 p.m. with a time of worship and reflection, and then followed at 7 p.m. with a brief teaching, and then our prayer time. Those are great ways to love well and pray, as Pastor Bill is instructing us. One more opportunity. This is a really unique opportunity. There will be an upcoming opportunity to go to Ethiopia next year in 2020. Pastor Bill and the Bacons, Bruce and Roseanne, are hosting an informational meeting at the Bacons' home. Pastor Bill's home. On July 21st, for this possible trip, to visit Compassion-sponsored children and Project Mercy in Ethiopia. So if you're interested in being a part of that team or want to learn more about that possibility, email your RSVP to bill@yakimagrace.com. So now, as we prepare our hearts for the joy of giving, let's join together in prayer. Father, we draw near to your throne of grace, renewed by your mercy and your strength. You have given us the gift of a Savior, so that in you we may live and move and have our being. Accept now what we bring as signs of our faithfulness, and bless what we do hereafter for the advancement of your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
remind you there is communion on the other side of these doors here in the fireside room. You can do so on your way out into the garden room. But now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May He turn His countenance toward you and give you peace now and forever. Amen.